Hey, good morning. Hey, this was super cool. I know Heidi was there. Heidi was there with Ruby this Friday, and they had a blast. They had a great time of it, and it was packed. There was like 22 people there. 22 of you showed up for paint night. That's amazing. Now I know who I'm going to recruit when we paint the outside of the church. And we have pictures of you, so I won't have a hard time finding you. Before I get started here, I'm just going to grab this mic. Is this mic all ready to go now? Perfect. Thanks, Sandra. I will. I'll do that. I had a pretty cool week. It was full. And one of the things that we got to do with Youth for Christ this week was we got to host a team out of Eston College. And so they came out with us, and they got to hang out, kind of see what we do. And I hope they didn't take too many notes so that they see that I do just very little work throughout the week. Actually, no, it was super fun hosting them. They participated in all of our ministries, and they just kind of got to see what it's all about. Mostly what we were doing as Youth for Christ was we're headhunting, and we're just trying to convince them all that they should move out to the island and work with us, mostly with me and schools. One of the things that we found out as a team was that we are not a very good soccer team. We're not. We cannot beat a group of four middle school boys. And I think we may have lost 12-0 is what the final score was. And also, I found out we scored two. Did we score two goals? Okay, I'll take that. Also, don't step on soccer balls. It's super bad for your knee. 51. Oh, Sandra. Hey, I'm going to invite Sinead. Can you come on up? And the whole team, you guys can come up. And we're just going to give them a few minutes just to share, all right? There you go.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Hi, yes, as Claudio said, my name is Sinead, and I am on staff at Eston College. I've been working there for just over 6 years now, and it's been awesome. I'm the community rep, so my job basically is to just go and tell people what's happening at the college and invite them to come. So if any of you are done with the terrible weather here in Victoria, you're welcome to move to Saskatchewan. It's really beautiful out there. Yes. So for those of you who don't know what Eston College is, it is a Bible school. It used to be called FGBI. We are just wrapping up our 80th year. So we've been around for a while. And we used to be in a town called Eston, Saskatchewan, which was in the middle of nowhere. The town itself had about 900 people. So the college, you know, had like a tenth of the population of the town. And just about 18 months ago, the leadership of the school felt the Lord very, very clearly call us to relocate the college from Eston to Regina. So we made that move last summer. We basically wrapped up the school year. We had a big party called the Burning Lamp, which celebrated the history of the college. We said goodbye to the campus that we loved deeply. And then we very quickly packed everything we could into a couple of very big trailers. And we scooted down to Regina, and we've been operating there since August last year. So we just wrapped up our first school year in Regina, and it's actually been a really amazing time. One of the things that we discovered with the transition was how much easier it is to deeply connect with the community when there is a community that exists. Now, Eston was great. I specifically was deeply connected to the local ACOP church in Eston, and I did a lot of work with the youth group there, but that was about all that was going on. You know, there's some teenagers, there's a couple of older people, and that was about it. But as soon as we moved to Regina, we just discovered that there's this whole extra world of things that we could be doing to serve the city. So we've been involved with everything from helping in kitchens, feeding the people in the city that need it the most. We've been in lots of different churches. We've been in lots of different businesses and communities within the city. And we're expecting that to grow. So Eston College is, as I said, it's a Bible school. And we have three pillars. We believe in Word, Spirit, Mission. So our mission statement is equipping students to know the scriptures and the power of God to further the Great Commission. That is why we exist. It's why we do any of the things that we do. And if anything doesn't fit into that vision, we just kind of don't do it. So we, this trip that we're on right now, it's called a World Action Team. And so these four young women have just decided to give up a couple of weeks of their life to just come and serve the youth of BC. They had to fundraise for it. They are not paid to be here. They've been sleeping on various forms of bedding / floors for the last couple of weeks, or last week, with another week to go. Next week, we're helping we are running the kids program of the ACOP National Gathering that's happening in Surrey. So if any of you are coming to Surrey next week, we'll see you there. But yeah, I just wanted to say a couple of things really quickly. When we were coming in to Victoria, we were told a lot of horror stories about how bad things have got here, how there's no Jesus anywhere, everyone's kind of depressed, everyone's maybe a little high all the time, and that's basically the story we're told of what it's like to live on the island. But what we saw this week was God deeply at work in the youth of this region. We saw many, many young people just hungry for the love that he wants to give. And we saw people like Claudio and Jen and Lindsay just pouring out the Father's heart on young ones. And honestly, there were times where we just wanted to weep as we saw how this love is transforming their hearts. And on Friday night, we went to the youth gathering that YFC helped put on. And as we were standing there, Lindsay is like, you know, two people could show up tonight, or 200. We don't know. I think it was maybe about 100 in the end. And Jordan was speaking, and at the end, he's like, hey, if you just want to walk with Jesus, just put your hands in the air. And I was expecting, you know, the typical, like maybe like 5 or 10 brave people. And I was standing at the back, and I was just blown away as like this wave of hands of just these teenagers who are just desperate, desperate for the love of Jesus to transform them. So I'm leaving this week so encouraged by what God is doing here. And I just want to, on behalf of the college, I just want to bless the ministry that this church is doing through individuals, through you as a congregation. You are really doing a good work in this region. And it's so exciting. It's so exciting to know that Victoria is not dead for Christ.
Yeah.
He is working here.
That's good.
Yeah, so we would love to tell you more stories about the college or what we did this week. The girls are just going to be in the back by our promo table after the service. Please come and say, at least say hi before you leave. Tell us your name. We will totally remember it. and if you came to FGBI or Esten College at some point, come and tell us the funniest story of something that you shouldn't have done in the dorms. We love those stories. But yeah, we will. And if you just want us to pray for you or something as well, we would love to do that. So thank you, bless you, and have a great life. And if you want to move to Saskatchewan, the door's always open.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thank you. Thanks so much for that. We had a great time. Lots of laughs this week. I think a lot of them were at my expense, but that's okay. I can live with that. I can laugh at myself, so it's good. It was a good team. It was lots of fun. So thanks so much for sharing with us. Thanks for your time. We bless you guys for sure. And I understand having to sleep on floors and stuff like that sometimes is probably not what you sign up for, but you're not 51, so you got lots of time to figure it out. Well, hey, it's good to see you all here this morning. Beautiful day, beautiful worship time, beautiful time to just sit in the presence of God. So thanks, worship team, for doing that. Marie, again, you are brave, and we just honor that you came up and that you shared. And next time, Carlos has to come up, and he has to do it in English. If you don't know, Carlos doesn't want to come up because he's shy. And he doesn't think he speaks enough English. But we're going to make him do it one of these days. I told him he was going to have to come up and sing a song today. And he said no. So I love this. I love this. I love that I look over here and I see six answered prayers. And I know we've been working on it. We're walking through it. And I know that this board looks full. Like, I know it looks overwhelming. But it's not. It's not overwhelming because God's in charge of this stuff. God's the one that's going to do this. And he's going to do it on his timetable, and he's going to do it on time and on purpose. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see this happen over and over again. And we keep praying, and we keep walking in it. I won't keep you super long today. I'll try not to. I'll stick with my notes as best as I can. We're taking a break from our series, Extraordinary, as we walk through what the Holy Spirit does, what it looks like, what he looks like, what he looks like in our lives, and how he empowers us. Today is Mother's Day. And so we're going to take a bit of a break, and we're gonna do something a little bit different. And so I'm going to start with a couple jokes. You guys okay with a couple jokes? It's Mother's Day. Usually it's dad jokes. Today it's mom jokes. You guys ready for this? Just so you know, I won't take credit for these. I did not write them. I wish I was that smart. Ready? Here we go. Little bit of... Don't get yourself in trouble here, Claudio. Okay. Little Billy's mom was rubbing moisturizing cream on her face as Billy walked in. Mommy, what are you doing? He asked. Oh, I'm putting cold cream on my face, she replied. Why, Mommy? Billy asked. To make my skin look beautiful, she said. And then she started wiping off the cold cream with a Kleenex, and Billy said, gosh, Mom, you're giving up already? A couple weeks ago, I talked about wisdom and knowledge. Don't say that to your mom, okay? That's wisdom. Wise advice from a mother to a daughter. You ready for this one? Mom to the daughter says, here's some advice. Cook a man a fish and you'll feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish and you'll get rid of him for the weekend. Ma? It's good, eh? This is for our cop friends that are probably out riding their bikes training today. Maybe they're watching online. Jeremy, Danny, ex-cop. This one's for you guys. Ready? A young police officer was asked, hey, what do you do if you have to arrest your own mother? Call for backup. That's it. That's all I got. There were lots. That's what I got for you today. Mother's Day. Mother's jokes. It's going to be a new trend. We're starting it here. This is going to be the nucleus. It's going to go from here. It's going to be worldwide. Might even make me rich, but probably not. So, you know what? Mother's Day is a good day. I love celebrating. This morning, my kids celebrated Heidi, and there were some cards, and Ruby had painted a card and all kinds of stuff. And then they kind of look at me, and they're like, hey, where's the card for Mom? I'm like, well, she's not my mom. So I'm not doing that. But also then she pointed out that I didn't get my mom a card. And so what do? I'm trying to get it all together, you know? So today, because it's Mother's Day, we're going to take a look at a couple of women from the New Testament. We're going to take a look at a couple of women from the New Testament this morning. Our text is going to be found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And we're going to be looking at Martha and Mary today. Martha and Mary today. And you might be thinking, what, Martha and Mary, those aren't moms. What are you talking about? Why? Those are sisters. Claudia, you don't understand what Mother's Day looks like or how it works? Don't worry, folks. I'll get us there. I always do. You guys know that. You can trust me. I don't follow my notes. Eventually, we make our way where we're supposed to be. But today, we're looking at the story of Martha and Mary. And so before we read our text, let me just kind of set this up. So Jesus is coming to this little town. He's coming to this little town of Bethany. And he's going there because he's got lots of friends there. He's got some good friends there. And he's like, I'm going to go see my friends. I want to go spend some time with my friend Lazarus. And you guys know the story of Lazarus. And he's like, oh, I want to go see him. He's one of my closest friends. Let's go there. But at the same time, Lazarus' sisters are both there, Martha and Mary. It turns out that Jesus is actually really good friends with them too. He's like, oh, I want to go spend time with all my friends. And this piece of text that we're going to read today actually doesn't even really mention Lazarus at all. But in just a few short verses, we find out a whole ton about these two women. We find out all kinds of stuff about what these two sisters are like. So why don't we go ahead and read that? I'll read that for you. We're reading out of the Passion Translation. And so here we go. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and her sister named Mary. Mary Mary sat down attentively before Jesus, before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated with finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me." Oh, have you ever felt like that before? Well, I'm doing everything. How come this person doesn't get up and help me? Well, and the Lord answers her, "Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you so upset and troubled, pulled away by all these distractions? Mary has discovered the one thing that's most important. By choosing to sit at my feet, she is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her." So these two sisters, here they have this opportunity to spend some time with Jesus. And in those few short verses, we can see how opposite they actually are from each other. They couldn't be any more different from each other. You look at Martha, and Martha is a doer. Like, she's a worker bee. And she can't sit still. She wants to get stuff done. Stuff has to be prepared. Stuff has to be organized. You know, the room has to be swept. The table has to be cleared. The dishes have to be done. The dusting has to be in place. She's moving. She's a doer. She's that person. Company's coming, and there's things that need to be done. I have to run into the kitchen. I have to get supper going because this has to start cooking at this time so that it matches up with this, so the rice is cooked at the same time as the meat and everything's ready, and she's got it all lined up. You know what Martha is? She's a type A personality. Have we got any type A personalities in this room? I'm not going to look at, oh, okay. You see that? The type A's are like, yeah, that's me. I recognize that because I'm going to put my hand up because it's the proper order thing to do. I'll put my hand up. Because what I was going to say was, I'm not going to actually look at anyone directly because I didn't want to offend anybody by looking directly at them. That's the type A. But my type A's went like this. Yep. Yep. Do I get a check for that? Yep. That's me. I'm type A. There's type A. That's Martha. Martha's a type A personality. Lots of people are. Then you look at Mary. Mary's the complete opposite of her sister. It almost feels like Mary's just coasting along. She's got the top rolled down on the car. Wind's blowing. She's like, "Ah, it's a good day. I don't even care where I'm going." Type A's driving behind Mary going, "The speed limit's 60. You're doing 40. What are you doing, Mary?" Mary's like, "Oh, I'm going to put on some tunes. Oh, it's a lovely day. You know what? I'm just happy to be here. Jesus is here. I don't care what we're going to fix for supper. We'll eat what we eat. It's all right." See, she's not worried about the dust on the coffee table. She's just laid back. She's just listening to Jesus. A little bit different. Sometimes what happens is a type A meets a, you know, not so much a type A, and they get married. That's super fun. Joe, why are you laughing way back there? So we got the Marthas and we got the Marys. I got a question for you this morning. Which camp do you fall in? Are you a Mary? Are you a Martha? And guys, just because we're talking about ladies and it's Mother's Day, don't sit back there and go, "Oh, sweet, I'm going to check out. This message is not for me this morning. Claudio's just talking to the ladies." Don't do it. Don't do it, because we know already that in this room, we got some men that are Marys and we got some men that are Marthas. We know, I know, that we got some Marthas in here. Just so you know, this isn't just for the moms or for the ladies today. We have men and women that have both personalities. Some of you just... you just have to be doing something all the time. You gotta be tinkering. You gotta be fixing. You gotta be cleaning. You gotta be writing the email. Some of you are just that way. You're just tinkering. Hey, you know what? I know the car's working all right, but I bet you, if I took it all completely apart and put it back together, It'll work better. I'm like, the car's running fine. But some of us are that way. We got to be doing something. Someone shows up or something happens, it puts us into a frenzy. We're like, oh no, I wasn't expecting someone to come by the house right now. Now, for me, I'm usually pretty laid back, but when I know that we have people coming over for a visit at our house, all of a sudden I'm Martha. And I can't even concentrate as to what I'm going to do first. Like I'm folding the blankets and setting them on the couch perfectly. And then all of a sudden, I'm not done that, but I see something else. I'm over here and I'm dusting the coffee table. I'm like, oh yeah, that looks, oh wait a minute. What's this? Oh, why is there all this turf balls from my kids' soccer stuff? And then I'm grabbing the vacuum. And then all of a sudden, I'm over here going, oh, the recycling needs to be done. And I'm recycling. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I wonder if they can see in my pantry. Let's move all the laundry out of the way. And we get into a frenzy. You got to keep your hands busy all the time. Some of you are Marthas. And some of you, you have a far easier time of just coasting along. You sit there and you go, ah, what's all the fuss about? Yeah, we'll have bologna sandwiches. Who cares? Someone came over to visit. Let's just chill. Let's just relax. What's the big deal? We'll enjoy each other's company. Nobody can see the fingerprints on the door. Nobody knows what my room looks like upstairs. They're not going upstairs. Relax. Let's just chill out. Enjoy each other. You're Mary. In this situation, Jesus has a talk with Martha. Because she's saying, hey, can't you tell that my sister isn't doing anything? Doesn't that make you as crazy as it makes me? Because I think that she should be exactly like me. And Jesus says to her, Martha, my beloved Martha. Oh, Martha, I love you. That's what he's saying, eh? Even in your own personality that's not like your sister's, oh, I love you. I love you, Martha. Don't work yourself up so much. Why are you so worried? You don't need to get this upset about all of this. You don't have to worry about what you think you have to do or who you think you have to be in order to spend some time with me. Like, that's what he's saying. You think, Martha, that you have to be this one thing to spend time with me. And you don't. And see, what happens to us in the here and now is, man, we're going to have people that are going to tell us who we're supposed to be. And what our role should look like. What put together looks like. Like in our culture today, people love to tell us what our identity should be so that we are successful, good people. And Jesus is saying, I just want you to spend some time with me. That's more important than everything else that tells you what put together looks like. And people are good at it. People are super good at letting other people know what their life should look like. You know who's the worst at it? Not Facebook. Well, yeah, okay, Facebook. But you know who's the worst at it? Ourselves. We're the worst. We try and convince ourselves of what put together should look like all the time. And Jesus is saying, hey, take a breath. Just spend some time with me. Now, don't get me wrong. In this moment, in this instance, Jesus isn't saying to Martha, never do anything. So some of you are going, sweet, I don't got to do anything. I'm just going to chill. Well, there's some things we got to do. Like, eventually, you got to dust, okay? Eventually, you got to clean the dishes. Eventually, probably the laundry. I don't know how to do laundry. I'll confess right now. My father-in-law was in town this week, and at one point he said, "Hey, Claudio," because Heidi wasn't home. He said, "Hey, Claudio, I want to do some laundry. Do you think you could just show me how your machine works?" He goes, "You've been here 10 years. You know how this machine works, right?" "Hey, can I get you a beer, Dad?" I didn't know how to do it. I said, "Well, my job is to take out the compost and fight with the rat that lives in my barbecue." And Heidi's role in this is the laundry. So Jesus isn't saying don't do anything. What he's saying is this. He's saying, hey, in the middle of the things that you still have to do, find some time to spend with me. In the middle of the hustle and the bustle that is our life and our life journey, find some time for me. In the distractions of life, like in the messiness of our lives, because our lives are messy, in the messiness of your faith journey, what I want you to do is I want you to land facing me. So he wasn't actually fussing at Martha for what she was doing. He was pointing out what was driving her to do it. So it wasn't about her busyness. It was about why she was trying to be busy. He was pointing out to Martha that her true identity is actually found at his feet. It's found in him and through him. So in this instance, in this interaction between the sisters and Jesus, Mary actually got it right. She found herself at the feet of Jesus. And so if we were giving points away for this, because I like points, because I like sports, and I like winning, and I like teams that win, and I'm cheering particular teams that I'm not too interested in, but I'm cheering for them because I want them to win. And you guys know I'm a competitive guy. Like, points matter to me as to who's winning and who's not. So if we're talking about Martha and Mary, and I'm going to do this, whether I get it theologically right or wrong, I'm giving Mary some points here. Mary's winning the game right now. Right now, Mary's winning the game. But see, this isn't the only time that we see Mary and Martha actually deal with Jesus, like, because they were friends. And so it's not the only time they have an interaction with him. We actually see farther on down in the book of John, we see that they meet up with him again. I'll read that to you, but before we jump into it, what's happened here is their brother has died. The good friend of Jesus, Lazarus, has died. And word has got to Jesus. And so he's making his way back to Bethany, because him and his disciples want to be with their friends, and they want to comfort both Mary and Martha in this. And so John chapter 11, verses 17 to 32. "Now when they arrived at Bethany, which was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Many friends of Mary and Martha had come from the region to console them over the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that, Jesus was approaching the village. When Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she went out to meet him," because she's a type A, so she went out. "Mary," she stayed in the house. "Martha said to Jesus, 'My Lord, if you'd only come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you.' And Jesus told her, 'Your brother will arise and live.' And she replied, 'Well, yes, I know he will, with everyone else on Resurrection Day.' 'Martha,' Jesus said, 'you don't have to wait until then. I am the resurrection, and I am life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?' And then Martha replied, 'Yes, Lord, I do. I've always believed that you're the anointed one, the Son of God, who has come into the world for us.' And then she left and she hurried off to her sister. and called her aside from all the mourners, and she whispered to her, "The master's here. He's asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she quickly went off to find him. For Jesus was lingering outside of the village at the same spot where Martha met him. And now when Mary's friends were comforting her and noticed how quickly she ran out of the house, they followed her, assuming she was going to the tomb of her brother to mourn. When Mary finally found Jesus outside the village, she fell at his feet in tears and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." So here we have Jesus having a conversation with both sisters in a super tough moment. They're mourning. They're hurting. And they both say basically the same thing. "Hey, Lord, if you had been here, my brother, he wouldn't have died." What that says about the two sisters is that there was an amount of faith in both of them and in their response to Jesus. They both believed that somehow Jesus would have stopped Lazarus from dying. But Martha, in this instance, takes it one step farther. "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. I've always believed that you are the anointed one that came to save us." She still thinks that Jesus can do something now. Her brother's been in the tomb for 4 days, and she still believes that Jesus can do something right now. She believes and recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God, and he can do anything that he wants. In this instance, we see that Martha's faith is so much more than Mary's. And I'm not saying that Mary didn't have faith here. She did. But in this moment, what Martha is doing is she's recognizing that Jesus is her source in the messiness of life. She's landing facing Jesus. Two completely different personalities are dealing with it and expressing it differently. But in this moment, Martha is going, "Oh, you're my source." Just like Mary said at the feet of Jesus, "All these other things are happening, but you're my source." And then Martha walks all the way over here into her life journey, and she goes, "Oh, Jesus, in all my messiness, you're my source." So now, if we're keeping track of the score, Martha gets a point. It's a tied game going into overtime. What's going to happen? Overtime. Oh, overtime gives me so much stress. I don't even have any skin in the game. The Flames aren't even in the playoffs. Oh, I can't handle overtime. I can hardly watch it. Here we are. We're in overtime with Martha and Mary. Who's going to win? Whose side are you on? Because you might be sitting there going, "Oh, no, I love them both the same." No, you don't. We all have someone that we're cheering for. We do. Like I said, I have no skin in the game in the playoffs right now. My team's out by a long shot. But every game that I sit down and watch, it doesn't matter. I don't care about the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. I really don't. But I put that game on, I'm cheering for somebody. I'm like, "Oh, I don't like that blue. Oh, no, I don't like that guy. That guy's name starts with an A. I don't like that guy. Oh, I don't like that coach. You know, I don't think I like New York at all." We pick, right? It's how we are. So I know right now in your head you're going, "Come on, Mary, you're the cool one." Some of you are going, "Come on, Martha, win for the rest of us." Whose side are you on? Mary or Martha? But the truth is this. Like, actually keeping score and choosing a side is a little bit silly. We know that. Why in the world would we choose sides when both of these women recognized that their source in the messiness of life is Jesus? Choosing one or the other means that we're condemning one or the other. We're deciding who wins and who loses. We're pretty good at that. We're pretty good at deciding who gets condemned. We're pretty good at doing that towards other people, but more so at our very own identity. We decide when we're condemned and when we shouldn't be condemned. What's the right side to be on? Well, how does God feel about this? Let's look at Romans 8:1. It's a pretty clear answer here. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Now the case is closed. That's your answer. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation. In Christ Jesus, you're on the winning side. At the end of the day, case closed. If you find yourself in Jesus, you're winning. Martha's out there. If you're in Christ, you're not condemned. Mary's, if you're in Christ, you're not condemned. We all have different personalities, and we all have different tendencies. Some of those personalities, they need some work. Let's be honest. Some of those tendencies, they need to be worked out of our lives. That's the truth. But when we find ourselves in Christ Jesus, neither our personalities or our tendencies condemn us. So today, I want you to remember this. You are not condemned for not having the ability to have children. You are not condemned for desiring not to have children. You are not condemned for being single. You are not condemned for a failed marriage. You're not condemned for being tired of dealing with your children. You're not condemned for strained relationships with your parents. You're not condemned for needing a break from your kids. You're not condemned for a messy house. You're not condemned for not being able to live up to the standards of our host culture. You're not condemned. Because if you're in Christ, your identity, your righteousness, it comes from Him alone. So this morning, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. Enjoy the love and the affection and the acceptance of being perfectly loved with an unwavering love that comes from the Father in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you sent your Son, and that your Son said, I just want you to be with me. Oh man, does that take pressure off? Because life is messy. People are messy. Relationships are messy. We find ourselves in all kinds of situations in our life journeys, in our faith journeys. Jesus, thank you that you make so much space for us to come and just be with you. That you see us, that you hear us, despite our personalities, despite our tendencies, despite who we think we need to be, despite the standards that we put on ourselves, you see us. Help us to remember that. Help us to celebrate that. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray this morning. Amen. Amen.